Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go, getting underway with the fourth and final hour of the Bobby Mack Show. It is, of course, the bonus hour here on Hump Day. Remarkably similar, though, in a lot of ways to the three preceding hours. Let's do that. Grab your phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307 and my email address bob@1063word.com. In on the text line, Bobby, haven't heard anything about any more horse attacks in a while. Have there been any updates that I may have missed? Not that I'm aware of. I am left to think that the added law enforcement presence and attention to the problem may have driven the individual or individuals that were responsible for those attacks back into the shadows. We can only hope that that is over with. Bobby, sorry to put Barnaby Jones in your subconscious, but this morning, a young woman seeks vengeance on the two men who swindled her late father out of his land holdings. Tune in at 4 a.m., I'm betting he shoots the villain in the arm at the end. Yeah, that's right. Barnaby rarely actually killed anybody. Can't have that. Bobby, about Matt Drudge, if what that story said about the border is true, if he's bitter about that, bitterness can poison a lot of things. Another texter speculates the Democrats have something on Matt Drudge. And another texter says, the heck with Drudge and his report. Or words to that effect. As I edit in progress, to the phones we go on our leadoff batter here in the bonus hours. Keith wants to talk about this Kabuki Theater, the Kangaroo Court, Star Chamber proceeding, whatever you want to call it, monkey trial in D.C. Hi, Keith, and welcome to the show. You there, Keith?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yep. Got you 5x5.
Okay. I'm sorry. Mr. Klein, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, by the way.
Thank you, sir. And, you too. I hope you had a wonderful holiday.
Well, my family went to a wedding, and they left me all alone, and that wasn't necessarily a bad thing.
I was about to speculate, Keith. Not trying to get too personal, but there are moments where that can be a blessing in disguise.
Somebody said, what did you have for Thanksgiving dinner? And I said, I actually had a bologna sandwich for lunch and country-style steak for supper.
Well, what's not to like?
Right. And, you know, rice and gravy is good anytime. I don't care.
You bet.
But,
you bet.
Anyway, I've got a stupid question. So,
well, you came to the right place with it. I can tell you that.
Though, if I read the Constitution correctly, and my parents spent a lot of money for me to go to the University of South Carolina and learn to read the Constitution.
There you go.
So if I read it correctly, the Congress brings up the charges for the president on the impeachment. That then goes to the Senate.
Correct.
They can or cannot act on that. They can choose to say there's not enough here to proceed.
Your reading of the founders' documents, to my understanding, Keith, is entirely accurate. When it gets over to the turtle, as he's called, Mitch McConnell in the Senate, when it gets to the leader of the Republican Party in the Senate, he can turn around and say, you know what? There's nothing here. Forget about it. We're ignoring this.
That's exactly. Well, matter of fact, that's the way I understood it, and I knew I was kind of right.
Yes, sir.
So I called one of my old professors to ask him that question.
Uh-huh.
He's not real known, but some people have heard him, Walter Egger. And I asked him what he thought.
Right.
And he, and everybody knows who Walter Egger was, but I asked him, I said, am I correct? I said, can that actually happen? Can the president pro tem of the Senate actually say, this is a waste of time. Y'all have a nice day. And
uh-huh.
he said, yep.
Yep.
He can actually just drop it right there, and it would never come before Senate, or he can suspend it and wait till the following election. So he literally could just, you know, like a normal prosecutor, and just sit on it.
Right.
Forever.
Well, this is a
forever.
Historic moment, Keith, because for once, the attack dog of the right and a esteemed law professor are in agreement.
Right. Well, and it just, but I mean, it's not, I mean, this is really a waste of time. Now, what scares me is, and our founding fathers were adamant about it, Thomas
uh-huh.
Jefferson and James Madison did not want impeachment in the Constitution.
That's correct.
They
that's
were adamant about
that's
it.
That's my understanding as well.
Well,
they
I'm
felt
not
like
being
the
mean.
My understanding, Keith, is that they felt like the electoral process would deal with a situation like that. Let the voters decide whether or not the president should continue to serve. I mean, just as cabinet officers serve at the pleasure of the president serves at the pleasure of the people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, there are just certain rules that, well, I'm going to mention this. It's a little off topic, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it. You seem to be a fairly learned man, and I appreciate your radio program.
Thank you. You're very kind.
With that said, what irritates me more than anything when I watch the evening news, which I very seldom do anymore,
uh-huh.
I just listen to the Bob McLean show and get all the news I need.
Well, thank you.
Seriously. When they sit there and talk about the democracy we live in, does that irritate you as much as it irritates me?
To no end.
We live in a democracy.
Yeah, exactly.
We
and,
have
you know,
never lived in a democracy.
You
we
are
live
in
a constitutional republic.
You are absolutely correct. And I, if I had a nickel for every time I had yelled that at the television set, I would be capable of retiring a wealthy man.
Well, he's no longer on the news, but Dan Rather, I've heard him say our democracy so many times,
yeah.
I literally want to jump through the screen and just strangle him.
Well, and that's the,
and
bear
so
in,
we're misinforming the people.
Bear in mind, Keith, that's a guy that was not above using forged documents to try and charge President Bush with evading military service. So,
well, I mean, he's part of the normal media, so he is allowed to do whatever is necessary to make the side that needs to win, win.
Except he's no longer allowed to do it at CBS. Even Rather was too vile for CBS. Stop the presses.
Well, you know, I've read that Walter Cronkite was a very liberal man. I'm
yes.
sure he was.
Yes, he was.
But
you wouldn't have known it from watching him on television.
Right. He delivered the news.
Right.
He delivered the news. And, you know, back in the days when there used to be this thing of what, when, where, and how.
Right.
And that was the news. That was it. You
That's
know,
right.
The news had no opinion. They just, but.
Well, even in the days even in the days of Cronkite on CBS, the news did have opinion, but it was delivered by Eric Severide, and it was plainly labeled as opinion or commentary.
Right. But what scares me about all this impeachment is this is the third impeachment in, what now, 20 years?
Second
impeachment in 20 years, excuse me.
Right, and third in the last 30 or so, right.
Right, and Nixon was going to be impeached.
Correct.
Now, the one previous to that was Andrew Johnson.
Right, 1800s.
He was acquitted by one vote.
That's correct.
He was acquitted by one vote, And there's been I've said this to you before, but there's been 61 impeachments in the history of the United States, including federal judges,
right?
Senators, congressmen, vice presidents, and presidents.
Yep.
There's only been 8 convictions, 2 resignations, and one of those was a president resignation, and the others were federal judges.
Right.
No elected officials have ever been found guilty in an impeachment.
Yeah.
None.
I think that was Judge Alcy Hastings in Florida, who the voters, in their infinite wisdom, immediately turned around and sent to Congress, which tells you something.
Right.
Keith, I've got to run, but I thank you very much for the call, sir. Learned man, and don't mind reviewing the constitutional precedents here. 16 after 6 in the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. 6:22, Bobby Mack Show, the Hump Day edition. Great to have you along in on the text line. Bobby, I think you're referring to Dan Blather. Bobby, remember, what's going on is free campaigning for the Democrats, bottom line. Just nibbling away, getting a few votes here and there to try and hedge their bets. It's not about right or wrong, but it is a public debate that has one side paid for by the taxpayers. Yeah, and they're doing a bang-up job with it there, too. Bobby Cronkite did let his opinion slip into the news on occasion. Yeah, the one that comes to mind most immediately is after his trip to Vietnam, saying the war is lost. I much prefer David Brinkley. Bobby, this is Azarian Paul from Moonville. The Democrats better be careful. They're about to open a can of worms, which they will forever regret, because what is good for the goose is also good for the gander. If you catch my drift, the manure is about to hit the window oscillator at a very high rate of speed for them as well. Bobby, let's do the trial right now. That way Republicans can call witnesses and America can see what WORD listeners already know. Bobby, is this Professor Noah Feldman Jerry Lee Lewis's long-lost love child? I believe that pompadour might be genetic. Bobby, to a previous caller, the point is not to impeach President Trump. They know they can't get to that point. They can't get enough people to doubt him and not vote for him. Wait a second. I should have started at the beginning, and actually it was further down. Bobby, Ann Coulter followed the same pattern as Matt Drudge. She was a big Trump backer in 2016, but has turned decidedly against him over the past 2 years because of inaction on the border. She still praises him occasionally, but she lambasts him frequently about the border. Okay, there we go. Bobby, Jerry Nagler irritates me more than Adam. I smell like Schiff. From Brian and Duncan. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. To the phones we go. Let's head to Pendleton next and bring in Tim here on the bonus hour, the Bobby Mac Show on Hump Day. Hi, Tim. Welcome.
Hey, Bobby Mac. How you doing?
So far, so good.
Ditto. I find myself in a strange situation because I spend most of my life blissfully ignorant of everything going on around me.
Nice condition.
But I do happen to know some information on the recent horse attacks where horses have been slashed and injured.
Yeah.
And some killed. We have a friend who has a stable that has security cameras, and they had one of their horses slashed. So they rushed to the security cameras, and lo and behold, they caught the entire attack on tape. And it turns out it was a wild boar. Was rooting around and feeding just outside of the horse's pen, and horses being naturally curious creatures.
Right.
It walked over and stretched its head over the fence and promptly got slashed by the boar's tusks.
Wow.
So that is what has been going on. So doing some hog control in the area will help out. Or putting a fence outside of your horse's fence will also help.
Right.
But this does not. Yeah. But this doesn't tell us what happened to the one horse I believe that got shot.
Yes.
Unless boars have picked up a concealed carry permit, then I really don't know how we can protect against that.
Well, you know those turkeys and WKRP in Cincinnati. Les Nessman said they were mounting a counterattack. So. Yeah, that's interesting, though, Tim, because I believe that when Sheriff Chuck Wright was on the show with me a couple of weeks back, he also referenced that I believe somebody from DNR had speculated that there was a wild boar that may have been responsible for at least some of these attacks.
Yes, indeed. And I believe the other ones are still under investigation, but I think most of the slashing attacks are simply being attributed to the hog problem.
Yeah, and in a way, that's a relief. While it doesn't relieve whatever happened with the one horse that was shot, it would be a relief to hear that there would be at least one less demented individual out there that was stabbing these horses.
Indeed.
I appreciate the update, Tim. Thank you very much. I appreciate having that update. Linda is next up and is here in Greenville. Hi, Linda, and welcome to the Bobby Mac Show.
Thank you very much. I have 2 points to make.
Yes, ma'am.
Number one, some people, it appears, do not understand the word impeachment. It means to accuse a public official.
Correct.
So this is a two-part process. You accuse them, and then you either convict or acquit.
Absolutely correct.
So, yes. Okay. Second point is, this whole impeachment thing has nothing to do with Trump, President Trump, committing any wrongdoing. What it has to do with is the fact that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is not going to live 5 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump is going to get to pick one more Supreme Court justice. And they can't handle it. They do not want it. That's all in the world this impeachment thing is about.
You know, that's a brilliant point, Linda, and one that nobody to this point has brought up, and very germane to the issue, because many of us believe that Democrats have a very difficult time advancing their ideological positions at the polls, other than in places like New York, San Francisco, places that are hotbeds of liberalism. And so they are dependent in large measure on activist members of the judiciary, that is, Democrat-appointed judges, who pay little attention to the letter of the law and instead rule on liberal ideology. And that being
right.
The case, how many of their issues could then be brought before the Supreme Court, not the least of which would be abortion, and would be in dire danger of being overturned?
Yes, and that's the only way that they're going to get that agenda going.
Yep.
Is through the Supreme Court. So they have to get rid of him because they already know who he's going to support. He made a list.
Yep, that's right.
He made a list.
That's right.
Before he was elected. Yes. So that's what it's about.
Brilliant point, Lyndon. I appreciate your mentioning it.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Good to have you here. That's too true. Too true. They're terrified. Because Ruth Bader Ginsburg is, you know, God love her, but look, I think everybody recognizes one foot on a banana peel and you know where the other foot is. 6:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back with the last half of the bonus hour here on Hump Day.
Rock on, brother.
That's what we do. 4 hours each weekday, Monday through Friday, slaving away over a hot microphone and computer terminal. 6:38 now, 22 before 7. And it is at this point in the program when we bring in the Bobettes for the Hump Day edition of ATF. And here's Gary Goodvoice.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Bob McLean presents Amazing, Amazing, True Facts.
It's Indeedy, and joined as always for ATF by Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass. Say hello, Miss Moneypenny. Put the caller on hold and tell him we'll be right back with
Hello, hello, hello.
And, of course, Miss Moneypenny banging the microphone stand out of the way. And, of course, little Annie in the news center struggling against the creeping crud. Are you feeling any better now? Or?
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a grump.
It's tough. When you don't feel good, you just don't feel good. All right, here we go with today's edition of ATF, and you may have seen this, the ad for the exercise bike company Peloton.
Yes.
It went viral because it shows a woman who appears to be already actually in pretty darn good shape getting a Peloton bike for Christmas and then spending a year progressing from super in shape to super, super in shape. So a new survey asked people, if you got a fitness-related holiday gift, like a gym membership or home workout equipment, would you be happy? Oh, thank you. Or would you be insulted, as in, does this dress make me look fat? You bet it does. So the survey results, 38% of people say they would be more pleased than insulted, only 7% would be more insulted than pleased. 44% said, wouldn't feel one way more. My immediate reaction was, I find enough trouble on its own without my seeking any out in this kind of regard. Moneypenny, if you were to receive this kind of holiday gift, would you be flattered or insulted?
If I had personally asked for it?
Yeah.
I would be happy.
Sure. Yeah.
If it was given to me just out of the blue, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What kind of when people give you soap or smelly things, do I smell bad?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, here's your gift at work. It's under $10 and it's deodorant. Oh. Thanks so much.
Take tax.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Oh boy. Little Annie, would you be insulted or would you be flattered?
I'm exactly with Moneypenny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of where this one falls to. Well, we've all been in that job interview situation.
Tic-tacs.
Speaking of sweating tic-tacs. And Tic Tacs. And then a couple of minutes in, realized You know what? I think I already blew this thing. According to a new survey, we put more pressure on making a good first impression at a job interview than we do in other stressful situations, like meeting your new significant other's parents or going on a first date. And even with all that pressure to get it right, most of us have majorly screwed up our first impression at a job interview.
This is going to be fun.
Here are the five most common ways we have fouled it up. Number one, we forgot the interviewer's name.
I've done it.
That's not good.
How do you spell your name?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like the Geico gecko. Couldn't send him the email. 40% of us say, yep, yeah, I've been there, done that, forgot the interviewer's name. Number two, 37% of people say they had showed up late.
That's not good.
That's not a good start. Number three, 35% of people forgot to show up at all. Wait a minute. You applied for the job and they gave you an interview and then you didn't even show up? 34% forgot the name of the company they were applying for a job with. Maybe they had so many prospects it was hard to keep them all straight.
Yeah, that's it.
And 33% of those forgot what the company did. How could you contribute to this company's success? Well, let me see.
What do you do?
Yeah, what are you guys doing? Jeez. One more stat for you. 55% of people say they'd rather stay at a job they don't like than have to interview to get another job someplace else. That's pure desperation there.
Yep.
Okay, is there any gray area when it comes to theft, as in stealing? Bunch of people took an online poll of what counts as stealing and what doesn't. See if you agree. Cashier fails to scan an item, and you don't mention it, and just let it slide. Is that stealing or not?
Is that stealing?
It's receiving a gift.
It's ignoring.
You've done it.
It's ignoring the incompetence of whoever's doing the checking.
I mean, hey, me working at a grocery store, I've forgotten to scan something. I'm like, it's just.
Yeah, forget it.
Merry Christmas. Well,
Merry Christmas.
A majority, 63%, said, yeah, that's stealing.
I think it's stealing.
You scan an onion instead of an avocado at self-checkout to save yourself 50 cents.
Oh, that's stealing.
50 cent, nothing. Avocados are 2 for $5.
Wow, there you go. Well, 73%
that's
said.
That's stealing.
Yeah, that is stealing. You tell a friend they left something at your place, but they never pick it up. So a little while later, you just start using it.
That's not nice.
But is it stealing?
After 6 months, it's moot.
There you go. 78% said, no, that's not stealing. You accidentally take someone else's coat when you leave a restaurant, and it happens to be nicer than yours, so you keep it.
That's stealing.
Was there any money in the pocket?
No, you've done that too. No specificity. 93% say, yeah, you stole the thing.
Yep.
You return something you bought on sale, and the store refunds you the full price instead of the sale price. Is that stealing?
You know you've done that before, Annie.
You've done that.
I have not done
you've
that.
You've done all of these.
I have not.
Well, a slim majority, 55%, said no, that's not stealing. Okay. An online purchase gets lost in the mail. Then what do you know? It arrives weeks later after you already got a refund. So you keep it. Is that stealing or is that just a nice turn of luck?
Some of these are hard.
That's happened to me.
Did you keep it?
Yes, I kept it. No. It came from Amazon, and in their email says, if it comes,
it's yours.
Keep it.
Yeah.
We're going to refund you anyway, but if it just by chance shows up, it's yours.
Because it's more expensive to ship it back than it is to say, to heck with it, and leave it with you. Well, 54% said, yeah, that was stealing.
Oh.
Okay. There you go. There is the hump day edition of ATF. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate your input.
Brush up on those interviews.
And of course, we committed none of the offenses previously listed here on this program.
That list was fashioned after Anne Robart.
Hey, I'm honest as a day.
I know nothing.
Didn't say anything about the night.
14 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. Welcome back. Closing minutes. Getting ready to wrap up shop here on Hump Day on the Bobby Mac Show. 9 before 7 o'clock. In on the text line, 71307. Bobby, whatever happened to that old liberal Anthony? Anthony is in semi-permanent timeout right now. Moscow rules are in effect with Anthony. That is no direct contact. Also on the text line, Bobby, there have been hogs or wild boars here for years. We haven't had them organizing attacks against a horse, so I'm not sure why it was put out there. But I'll bet you there is some freaky, creepy weirdo or two out there doing this and having a good laugh. Furthermore, I hope a horse owner gets half a chance to do what Kevin Costner would do on the TV show Yellowstone and then take him down to the train station. Leave it to your imagination. I don't know what Costner did on Yellowstone, but I think I can come up with a pretty good guess. Bobby, I wouldn't be surprised if Supreme Court Justice RBG was already dead and the Democrat Socialists were hiding it from us. Bob, what's a holiday gift? Is it like a gift for Thanksgiving or Independence Day? Yeah, Christmas gift, right? Bobby, about screwing up a job interview, I went to a job interview and I forgot to zip up my pants. Didn't even realize it until afterwards. Got the job anyway. Bob, Annie said she's as honest as the day is long. Sunset today, 1:13 p.m. Oh, boy. Now, this is interesting. I was unaware of this because I guess people in New York certainly have followed the professional political career of that nattering nabob, Gerald Nadler, Democrat, New York. I didn't realize it. Nadler was a fatty. Is that body shaming, Moneypenny? I mean, he was a slob. And apparently, I'm left to assume he had the lap band surgery or something to look at him now. But the reason I mention that, we dug up a C-SPAN video from 21 years ago. This is 1998. During the impeachment hearings for Slick Willie, for Bill Clinton, I want you to listen to me. Here is the distinguished Jerry Nadler speaking about the impeachment effort.
The effect of impeachment is to overturn the popular will of the voters. We must not overturn an election and remove a president from office except to defend our system of government or our constitutional liberties against a dire threat. And we must not do so without an overwhelming consensus of the American people. There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment supported by one of our major political parties and opposed by the other. Such an impeachment will produce the divisiveness and bitterness in our politics for years to come, and will call into question the very legitimacy of our political institutions. The American people have heard the allegations against the president, and they overwhelmingly oppose impeaching him. They elected President Clinton. They still support him. We have no right to
Well, you get the idea, right? There is Nadler essentially making the case for what the Republicans have been saying ever since this whole show trial, dog and pony show, kabuki theater, kangaroo court, star chamber proceeding, whatever you want to call it. He is calling it. There is Nadler in 1998 essentially describing exactly what's going on right now. And he has the audacity now to turn around and be part and parcel of what he was railing against when Clinton was the subject of the impeachment proceeding? Well, and he was also wrong when he said we must never have a narrow impeachment. Johnson, in fact, in the 19th century, Johnson staved off impeachment by one vote. So obviously his study of history is failing in that regard, which is unsurprising. But there he is making the case, you know, saying we'll have a political divisiveness for years to come and all the rest, and it should never be done for political reasons. Right, Jerry. Good thing you're not a hypocrite. And to wrap things up for today, make way for the great one, Mark Levin from the Underground Command Post. See you tomorrow. Have a great evening. God bless.
That's all, folks.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye.
What?
Goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Hello, I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Until our next show.
Hoo-ah.
Goodbye from us to you.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.